Hello, I'm Barry Black. Welcome to the Hope Channel and to Higher Ground. How would you like an extreme makeover? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. That is an extreme makeover. Come with me and learn how to have that experience. I'm Barry Black. Welcome to Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up, and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to talk to you today about how to experience an extreme makeover. Now, many of you have seen the television program Extreme Makeover. It is a program where they bring in someone who looks fairly ordinary. And then they bring in a cosmetic dentist. They sometimes will bring in a cosmetic surgeon. And by the time they finish working with that individual in a fitness center, working with that individual in the different areas that need to be worked on, you barely recognize the person. It is an extreme makeover. I was a chaplain at a recruit training command where I saw extreme makeovers. The people who came 12 weeks before graduation were not the same people who left. In fact, at graduation, they would give a prize to the individual who had lost the most weight during recruit training command. And inevitably, the winner would have lost over 100 pounds, an extreme makeover. The Bible talks about a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus who had an extreme makeover. And in that story, provides us with some principles on how we too can experience an extreme makeover. The Word of God declares in Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Wow. It was an extreme makeover. A man was transformed from being an enemy of the church to being an apostle to the Gentiles. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is experiencing an extreme makeover. I remember well when I was 16 years of age going to a Christian boarding high school. It is one of the most important experiences of my life. I was like Jethro Bodine on the television program, the Beverly Hillbillies. I didn't know what to do and when to do it. At 16, I had not been exposed to the music of Mozart or Beethoven or Bach. At 16, I did not know that when a young lady came to the table, I was supposed to stand. At 16, I had not been informed that when someone asked you a question, you responded with a complete sentence, not with yep and nope or some other monosyllabic grunts. I needed an extreme makeover. On that Christian high school campus, I met Jesus. Through a spring revival by a great evangelist, I asked him to be the Lord of my life, and he wrought in my life an extreme makeover. Things have not been the same. I'm so glad that the Apostle Paul had just that experience, an extreme makeover. Here he was on his way to Damascus to try to kill some Christians. Why did he want to kill them? They were teaching that a crucified man had come from the grave, resurrected. And Saul of Tarsus, who would later become Paul, knew that's an impossibility. And so here he is, waiting for the opportunity to destroy this heresy in its infancy. When he encounters the very risen Christ, whom he thought was dead. And that encounter transformed an enemy of the church into the man who would write most of the New Testament. It was an extreme makeover. And we see in this story the way that we too can become new creations in Christ. Admonition number one, if you're going to become a new creation in Christ, you must have an encounter with that risen Lord. That is what the Apostle Paul experienced, and that is what you can experience. How do you experience that encounter with the risen Lord? It happened to me when I began to ask God for the presence of His Holy Spirit in my life. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who will lead and guide us to all truth. He is Christ living in us. I had read Luke 11:13. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is your heavenly Father eager to give His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I started asking God for His Holy Spirit on a daily basis, and God gave me His Holy Spirit. I must warn you, however, be careful what you ask for. Sometimes God is with us, the risen Christ is with us, and we don't even know it. We're like those disciples in Luke chapter 24 on the road to Emmaus, walking with the risen Christ and not even knowing it. But if you're going to have that extreme makeover somehow and some way, you must encounter Him. Perhaps you will encounter Him through nature. The 19th Psalm says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies show forth His handiwork." Many a person standing beneath a starry heaven encountered the risen Christ. Encounter Jesus. He is alive and well on planet Earth. But then admonition number two, acknowledge your sinfulness. Jesus made sure that Saul of Tarsus knew of the sins he was committing. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? My friend, you and I are sinners. 1 John 1:8 says, if you say you have no sin, you are a liar. Saul had to come to grips with the sins in his life, the primary one, the dominant one, the besetting one. He was persecuting the church of the living God. When people persecute you, they are persecuting your Savior if you are a Christian. He did not say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting Christians? He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 7 had held the coats of the people who had stoned the Christian deacon Stephen. And the way Stephen had died had troubled Saul of Tarsus. He couldn't shake the image of a man whose face shone like that of an angel. He could not shake those words as Stephen declared, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. He could not shake those words of forgiveness. Father, lay not these sins to their charge. That is what Jesus, the risen Savior, meant when he said, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. He was being troubled by the sight of purity he had seen in a dying martyr. No wonder one early Christian writer said that the blood of the Christian martyrs provided the seeds for the early church. That risen Lord, alive and well on planet Earth, is the same risen Lord who will convict us of our sinfulness and then enable us to find that way where our sins can be cleansed. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a third thing that you must do if you are to experience that extreme makeover, and that is harness prayer power. Saul begins to pray. First he asks, who are you, Lord? Then he asks, what do you want me to do? Who are you, Lord? What do you want me to do? James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. Prayer is a means to that extreme makeover. Last week, when many people in this nation felt that the government was going to shut down, I had a Bible study group on Capitol Hill, about 100 people gathered on a Friday to study God's Word. As I was teaching the Word of God, I felt the presence of the Spirit of God in that room. And I thought with 100 believers, we should harness the power of prayer. This is an opportunity to stop an impending government shutdown. I had those in the room stretch their hands toward me, and we prayed together a prayer. Lord, I led them in this prayer. You said in James 4:2, we have not because we ask not. Lord, we are asking you to stop the government from shutting down. Well, we continued with the Bible study, but we believed that God was going to do something special. And I must tell you, when 11 o'clock rolled around, it looked like that a stalemate had happened and that there would be indeed a government shutdown. But when you harness prayer power, you can always depend upon God to do what is best. And at the 11th hour, they reached an agreement that kept the government from shutting down. That same prayer power is available to anyone who needs God. It was available to Saul of Tarsus. It was available to my Bible study group. It is available to you and to me. We must harness the power of prayer. Mahalia Jackson sang, "I've found the answer. I've learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I've found the way. The sun is shining o'er me each day. I've found the answer. I've learned to pray." But there is a fourth admonition, and that is expect God to make a way. I'm amazed at how God orchestrates events for those who are experiencing an extreme makeover. While Saul of Tarsus is having this amazing experience on the Damascus Road, God speaks to Ananias and says, "I have chosen a vessel, Saul of Tarsus, and I want you to go to this house, place your hands on him that he might receive his sight." Ananias didn't think that was such a great idea. He said, "God, this guy has been trying to kill us. You want me to go to that guy?" But oh, my friends, expect God to make a way for you if you're going to experience that extreme makeover, a way out of no way. It's like Cornelius, remember him? A member of the Italian band, a military man, while Peter is on the roof in the book of Acts, having a dream about food, God is also sending Cornelius a dream. My friends, God will make a way. We used to sing a song when I was growing up, like a ship that's tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea. When the storms of life are raging and its fury falls on me, I wonder what I have done to make this race so hard to run. Then I say to myself, be silent. Don't worry. The Lord will make a way somehow. You and I must expect God to make a way somehow. He can take a Joseph from the pit, and even though it takes 13 long years, he can make him prime minister of Egypt. He can take an anointed teenager by the name of David, and even though he has to run as a fugitive for many years, place him on the throne as Israel's finest king. He can take your life and my life and make a way out of no way. He is the God who is able to guide our steps and choreograph our destinies. Admonition number four, follow God's plan for your life. When he makes a way out of no way, he's got a plan for your life. It is not a plan that you might be able to know completely, but he tells us just enough so that we know the next step that we need to take. For the path of the just, says the scriptures, is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The just shall live by faith, and we are like Abram when he left Ur of the Chaldees. We must follow the plan as God gives us the light to see the plan. One of the greatest gifts my children ever gave me was a GPS, a global positioning system. Well, you see, I am navigationally challenged. I'm a Navy man, but I have problems finding my direction. But I can type in an address and a city and get in and have confidence that I am going to arrive on time and that I am going to arrive at the right destination. It seems miraculous to me even now. Just 2 days ago, I had to go to Philadelphia. I didn't know how to find this place in Philadelphia, but I had my trusted GPS. I put in the address and the city, and I took off, and it got me there in plenty of time. You have a GPS. It is a godly positioning system. You have a GPS that can make all of the difference in your life if you will follow God's plan for your life. Then, like Job, you can say, He knows the way that I take, and when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You will never make a mistake if you follow God's plan for your life, because He is attempting to lead you and me to a desired destination. He said in Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future, to give you a hope, to bring you to a desired destination. He can enable you and me to experience the extreme makeover required to arrive at that desired destination. But there is a sixth and final admonition, and that is to receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. When Ananias laid hands on Saul of Tarsus and prayed for him, Saul not only received his sight, but he received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift was so special that he guided Saul into becoming Paul and to becoming arguably the greatest Christian who ever lived, with the exception of our Lord. Saul of Tarsus made perhaps the greatest impact upon Christendom than any other individual who ever lived. It was an extreme makeover. My mother, with a fourth grade education, and the daughter of a South Carolina sharecropper, went to an evangelistic meeting one day and experienced an extreme makeover. She met Jesus. She met the risen Lord, just like the Apostle Paul did. She prayed for the unborn child in her womb, that God would anoint him, and I was that child. She had her children, all eight, matriculate in Christian schools, because she knew that what was needed was not just intellectual development, but spiritual development as well. And because of her faith, I experienced an extreme makeover, and so did my seven siblings. We came to encounter the risen Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We came to acknowledge our sinfulness and to discover that there is power in the blood. We learned how to harness prayer power. Many times there wasn't food in the home, and we would pray, and somehow God would provide. For Philippians 4:19 says he will provide for all of our needs. He will supply all of our needs. And so we expected him to make a way, and he made a way. We followed his plan in the scriptures. For 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says the scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may be completely equipped for all good works. And we, my friends, encountered the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who is altogether lovely, and he, in our hearts and lives, transformed us, produced a metamorphosis. It was an extreme makeover and continues to be an extreme makeover. Better than cosmetic dentistry, and better than rhinoplasty, and better than losing 50 or 60 pounds. It is a makeover that will enable us to experience the joy of service in this world and a wider joy of a higher service in the world to come. I want you to experience that makeover by not being, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 puts it, conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and like Saul of Tarsus, knowing that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Will you make a commitment to Jesus so that he will enable you to experience an extreme makeover?